And that was Elaine Silver with Standing in the Possibility. And this is Bonnie McDade, co-host of Let's Find Out. Elizabeth Joyce has the night off. Welcome. This is a place where metaphysical is brought down to earth and made accessible to everyone here on Let's Find Out. Tonight, my guest is Julie Donnelly. Julie knows firsthand what it means to conquer adversity, having overcome addiction, a grave illness, divorce, the untimely death of her ex-husband, single parenthood, obesity, indebtedness, and being laid off three times. Julie brings a wealth of personal experience to her work. She has worked in psychiatric nursing since 1993, and she founded her company, Nurturing Your Success, in 2001, where she assists people in achieving their goals and working through change. She's the author of The Journey Called You and a new book, Does Change Have to Be So Hard? Welcome, Julie. It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight.
Oh, thanks, Bonnie, so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about your first book so that we get a bit of your background.
Well, The Journey Called You is just that. It's a journey into self-exploration. The Journey Called You, a roadmap to self-discovery and acceptance. That's the tagline, if you will. And that really is what the entire book is about, learning to be more self-aware. It's wonderful to take assessments. We do that all the time. But how do you learn how to be, self-aware all the time, in the moment? And then learn how to accept ourselves without judgment. And then the third step, of course, is to learn, okay, so now that I know this about me, what do I do to honor myself? And so there is kind of this three-step process through the book of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and then learning to respect, love, and honor oneself. And that's the journey that we take through that book.
I love that. Especially, I love the idea because I come from the same place. You want to come from a perspective of joy. It's not difficult. It's not a lot of work. When you look at how precious everything around you is, when you truly live in the moment, everything else just sort of falls into place. It doesn't have to be so difficult, right?
It doesn't have to be so difficult. Now, the Journey Called You is one of a kind in the marketplace. I really struggled to find books on self-awareness and self-acceptance. I find that we struggle so much within ourselves, just entirely too much self-doubt, self-criticism, self-loathing. And that, of course, sets us up for what I wrote about in my second book, which is, the fear and what holds us back from achieving the success and the happiness that we really want. So the first book speaks to us kind of standing firm within ourselves, so we feel much more confident and comfortable being ourselves. Because if we are not, then we're more likely to put up with negativity, to put up with bad relationships, and just to tolerate entirely too much pain, and we don't feel that we deserve anything better. And that,
well, now you've been through a lot of these tough changes, and you outline strategies for dealing with these changes in your book. New one, Does Change Have to Be So Hard? What did you discover?
Well, the new book, it's interesting because I started writing it after I got remarried for the second time. And
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I remarried, and similar timing was that I started to embark upon a quest to lose weight. I had gained weight years ago when I got sick and then got pregnant. So like many other women's stories, we get pregnant, we gain weight. For me, I got sick, I gained weight, and then I got pregnant, which gained more weight. And so, but my son is 14. So after I got married, I embarked upon this change, and the book really came from that. What I discovered through writing the book is that, again, through my first book and then more so in this book, is that we really do have a lot more power than we realize. We do not give ourselves enough credit. We don't think we have power. We succumb to negative self-talk, and the beliefs that society kind of instills upon us. For instance, many people won't divorce because of how they think, you know, maybe a religious
taboo
might treat them.
Yeah,
or
right.
It's taboo. I know, remember when my mother and father, I'm a product of divorce too, when they got divorced, some of the neighbors wouldn't talk to my mother, which was
right. Weird,
you know? So, but that's what we deal with. And so those things, and again, if we're not comfortable being ourselves, pursuing our own dreams, if we don't have that spiritual connection to what we call God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, then we succumb to all of this negative pressure, outside pressure.
That's right. And what you just described with your parents and the neighbors shunning them, I went through that in church. So when my marriage fell apart, I also lost my church at the same time. So thank heavens that I had a strong relationship, a strong spiritual foundation myself with God, because otherwise, I don't know how I would have made it through all of those difficulties.
That is really hard.
It was really hard. But when you have
really
a positive outlook on life, when you believe, I'm here for a reason, and everything happens for a reason, and okay, I'm just going to roll with this, and we're going to be just fine, then you know what happens. Everything turns out just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really, it's a shame because it's unnecessary judgment.
Mm.
When we instill our beliefs on someone else. And the reality is that if I do that to you, I cannot possibly know what I would do in your situation. I am not you.
Right.
So when I say, well, you can't, or don't you, you know, you can't get divorced, you can't do this, you can't do that, then, I mean, I'm really instilling something that I believe, my belief on you. And really what they are is fear. But anyway,
right.
So what I discovered through writing this book and through, you know, my own path and, of course, coaching so many clients who have also, I had a few clients who also described similar outcomes as you did when they got divorced, is that we really do have a lot of power, a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for. Like you were sharing, you know, you found power within you. Some of us do need to find, and we also find power within communities. In your situation, you speak to a kind of an interesting point, and one of the points that I make in the book is that the right community is what's important. And as you were embarking upon this new life, this huge change, divorce is such a huge change, you then needed to, embrace a new community. Unfortunately, the old community did what it did, but we do need support of other people. But again, they need to be kind of on our side and supportive and not judgmental or instilling restrictive beliefs on us, if that makes sense.
No, of course it does. Right. And that's exactly the way it felt. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, in this position, you're at a vulnerable point. This is a change. It's a huge change. And you turn to your community and they're not there for you. And that's
right. Really
hard.
But there again, too, I had to realize that there must be a reason for it. There must be some strength that I don't have that I need to have, and this is going to be what gives it to me. And it's so funny because I really was 32, 33 years old. I had two young children, and I went through all of this, and I don't know, I'm not special, but it probably would have killed someone else. It was hard. It was a lot of work. But I just kept in mind my goal. I wanted my children to be happy, and that helped me to put on a good face. And I have an incredible family. So I had support. Even when my community turned its back on me, I did have support.
And I'm guessing that from that, you grew in the process. Did you grow from the community kind of turning its back on you? Were you able to find strength and
absolutely. And I think that it could have gone in either direction. It could have become bitter and resentful. I could have found a support group that would be right there and saying, yes, they were terrible people and we're going to support you and shun this. It could have perpetuated. It could have become worse and worse. And yeah. I took the other path because I have always wanted just peace in my life. I want happiness. I want joy. And so even when I run into some of those people today, I am thrilled to see them. They were a huge part of my life. I'm happy to see you. How are you? Absolutely no hard feelings, because I know what it's like in the middle of a peer pressure type of scene, even when you're not teenagers anymore. Grown-ups still feel the pressure from each other to, well, keep with the herd, to stay the course. So I have no resentment. And that was my choice. That was a choice I made.
Yeah. They say that heroes are the ones who do stand out from the crowd, who take the road less traveled, if you will, and are willing to, you know, speak out when others perhaps will be silent. And so it was very courageous of you to do what you did. And also, you're right, I'm sure there are many people who succumb to or become bitter because of that.
Really, well, I don't feel like any kind of hero. I'll tell you what, it was hard, and I would not choose to go through that. It was a situation I was thrust into, and I figured for my children and for my clients, people who depended on me every day, I had to practice what I preach. I had to be as strong as I try and teach them to be. And you know what? It worked. It really did.
Well, and you're talking about what was hard, the divorce or losing the community?
Going through the divorce and counting on a community that then disappeared underneath my feet as well. So it was a combination of those factors. And, of course, trying to put food on the table and deal with the day-to-day, take the kids to karate, and I got to pick dirty socks off the floor and you know, the snowball of an average day in the life of a single mother. And I know you know what that's like.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you use the acronym HARD.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, can you describe for us, what does the acronym stand for?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as we've been discussing, change really is hard. It's very difficult. There's a lot that we have to accomplish. And hard in the book stands for why. Why is it so hard? What are the reasons it's hard? And it's hard because of four main things. The first of which is habits. You know, we have routines. We have things that we do. We're, in the case of a divorce, we're habituated to the person that we're living with, the routines of the household. We also have relationships, communities, as we've been discussing, but there have been people, they lose everything, they lose their friends because they're not a couple anymore, so there's lots of habits there. And when habits are formed, we form a habit by taking action. We have certain thoughts that occur when we, you know, before we start to create something new, we have a thought, there's an emotional response, and we act. And through thoughts, emotions, and actions, and that's an acronym too. I call it, let's have a cup of tea, TEA, thoughts, emotions, actions, and then over time we create a habit. And that creates neurological connections in our brain, that thousands and thousands of them. If you think back to when you learned how to drive, for instance, you had to think about everything, where your hands went, you had to pay attention to everything. You had to think consciously about where your foot went and, you know, which foot went where and where do you look at the mirrors and out front and, you know, all of that. But after a few months, thoughts, emotions, actions, you know, every time you'd step on the gas, you kind of got used to it. And then over time, those neurological connections in your brain were created and hence habit. Those behaviors then became automatic.
Right.
So we've learned this over the last 20 years, the study of neuroplasticity. And what that means is that we can change. Used to be we can't change an old dog, you know, new tricks. You absolutely can. It's just that you have all of these neurological connections. They can't be just broken so easily. You can't change a habit. You have to replace a habit with a new habit, which requires attention. And then that, you know, attention over time, and you have to be conscious, choose an action, and do that enough times so that you create those neurological connections. There actually is one thing that will break a connection very quickly and start you on a new path, and that is what is known as the aha moment. And that, I didn't write that in the book, but that is only one, that's the one way that people can actually kind of shift their brain chemistry in, you know, kind of a few moments and start on a new path. Most of the time, though, we have, I mean, you know, 99.5% of the time, right, we have to act. And that consciousness, that attention is what makes it hard, because it requires, you know, several weeks of consistent behavior and attention to create that change.
Right. Well, so that aha moment is actually what can, it'll be the driving force behind the new attention and the new consciousness. You have that moment and it sticks with you and it propels you into this new change.
Right. Yeah. If you can get someone to have the aha moment, it's not always
that's
so easy.
That's a trick.
That's the problem. But we don't have to have an aha moment. We can simply, part of what I did with the book and talking about hard, what makes change hard, is helping the readers to understand their brain. This is what you're going to face when you face a change, when you decide to do anything. You want to lose weight. We have an obesity epidemic right now in our country, and everybody's looking for answers. And we see it on TV. We see all the action that is being taken. But these are the four things that you're going to have to face if you're going to tackle that. And if you don't face these four things, then even if you get on one of these reality TV shows and get, you know, heavy, and every time I turn around, there's another one. If you don't tackle your brain and bring this along with you and understand what you're going to have to face within your, you know, within your own thoughts, then you're not going to, you may not sustain the change. It's very hard to sustain unless you make some changes in how you think. 50,000 scientists estimate we have up to 50,000 thoughts a day. And that is a lot of noise. So unless we start paying attention to the thoughts that are driving our behaviors, hence our habits, we're like a slave.
That's
and we'll
right.
just continue to do what we've always done.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the HARD and how to put those strategies to work in just a few moments. We'll be right back. Wisdom Magazine is one of the country's largest free holistic publications, with 150,000 copies printed monthly in 3 regional print editions. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to the philosophies, products, and services of the new millennium. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition.
Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, The Truth About 2012. This is a new book by Elizabeth Joyce. People are being shaken awake. Sometimes it takes a kick in the pants to wake us up. Looking from a higher perspective, we are experiencing birth pangs of a higher consciousness, the fifth dimension. The 3 spatial dimensions of height, width, and length, along with the fourth dimension of time and timelessness, we are familiar with. But what is the fifth dimension energies? Mark Dodich, astrologer, says if you are opening to a greater spiritual dimension of your inner self, then this is the book for you. Ascension, How to Access the Fifth Dimension. Go to www.new-visions.com or amazon.com and get the book. It's a must read.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. Next week, March 20th, my esteemed guest will be Mark Dodich, the astrologer who has been on our show every quarter for the past year. Mark Dodich has provided astrology and intuitive consultation since 1980. He holds a CAP certificate in astrology from the ISR Astrology Research. He is past president of the Oregon Astrological Association, publishes his own newsletter, and is regularly featured in the media. Mark is a regular speaker on astrological topics at conferences, fairs, and metaphysical venues. He provides his work internationally from his base in Portland, Oregon. Mark has had a monthly column in New Connections Journal since the mid-1990s. He is also seen in print regularly, having published hundreds of articles. Mark is heard on radio programs numerous times during the year, and you can also find the link to hear shows on his website, www.astromark.us. Mark is very knowledgeable in the field of astrology, and we are entering the spring equinox. This is going to be a powerful pre-year to 2012. So don't miss this fabulous show, Sunday, March 20th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Elizabeth Joyce speaks with famed astrologer Mark Dodich, and let's all find out.
You're listening to bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. Bonnie McDade, and that was A Peaceful Heart by Gandalf. Between Earth and Sky is the album. And I'm here tonight with Julie Donnelly. Hello, Julie. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi. We're going to talk a little bit about the acronym, H-A-R-D.
Yeah. So H is for habits. As we discussed, they're hard to break, right. And so they need to be replaced with new habits. The A stands for attachments, and we are very attached, very attached mostly to everything. We can be attached to material objects, we can be attached to people, places, routines, things, thoughts, and I mentioned that we have 50,000 thoughts a day. We can become very attached to how we think, and so with attachments, you'll notice that people will be, you know, stubbornness. The emotional response we have to change, we'll have temper tantrums. Very clear sign that we're attached to either the way things are or we're attached to our thoughts. When we think we're right and we have an argument with someone, that's an attachment to being right. And so those things make it, that does make it hard because that makes up, it creates a wall or a barrier between which, you know, from behind which we kind of hide ourselves. We become attached to the way things are and we don't want to change. It's hard to change. You know, we don't want to do the work.
Right.
So,
right.
But the reality is that things do change. And unfortunately, that wall can create denial. And it doesn't support our success. Attachments is a very big term, of course, in Buddhism, and which, you know, the Four Noble Truths speak to attachments and how our attachments are the main source of suffering. And I would agree.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So
the more we can let go, the easier it will be. What makes it hard is that we want to keep things the same. And in some, you know, sense, our brain is supporting us to keep things the same. That's how it operates. We just need to be aware of that, that that's how it operates to keep things the same, so that if we have these neat little habits, we don't have to think about driving the car. We can just get in and go and focus on where we're going.
Right.
So
it's like survival instincts, right? That's the reason that your body holds on to these things and forms these synapses in your brain chemistry. And when you desire a change, when you really and truly want to lose those 40 pounds or whatever it is, and you make the conscious effort because you can see the joy at the end, that removes some of the hard, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that is one of the strategies. There are 8 strategies for success in the book, and that is one of the strategies. I mean, there are ways to loosen the attachments. There are ways to deal with the habits, even resistance and discouragement, which stand for the R and the D. I present these as the problem, and then there are 8 strategies that I present in the book to help us deal with these. We don't deal with habits head on because it's hard. It's very hard to change a habit. We have to, and let me finish the R and the D first, and then if you want, we can go into the strategies because I think that's probably what people want to hear. It's what makes it easy.
Yeah.
I don't even move beyond that. So the R stands for resistance, and resistance is fear. It shows up in many different ways. But resistance is when we stop ourselves. We resist doing what we need to do, or we make excuses. And this is how resistance shows up: excuses, rationalization, judgment. I had someone that just wrote a blog on this. They said, I think I'm just lazy. And the blog was on, it's not just lazy. There's no just. It's a choice.
Right.
And it
right.
probably, it could be resistance, could be attachment, could be, you know, could show up in those kinds of things. And that, we need to assess that. There is no just lazy, you know, either we can be relaxing, that's not laziness, that's choosing to be, you know, relaxed. It could be a lack of commitment. But resistance is fear. What happens is we decide we want to change. Well, right away, you've upset the status quo. The mind has created this system to keep things the way they are and keep you doing things the way you're doing. So there's a threat to an idea. So the idea is things should stay the same. You're saying, no, I want to change. And there's that threat. So that threat to the status quo creates a gap. And that gap creates fear. So our bodies release adrenaline, which causes that fight or flight response to occur, or freeze. And so we get paralyzed. And that's where you get the excuses or the procrastination. We struggle, we judge, we doubt ourselves. We create this drama, you know.
Right.
And so that's how fear shows up. Fear, it's not real fear because we're not really in danger of anything. But there's a threat to an idea that things could be different. And that leads us to D, which is the discouragement. In discouragement, there's this gap between what we dream of a new life. You have this thought of how wonderful life will be when I'm skinny or when I'm free from my husband or when I'm, you know, whatever. And so that's the fantasy. We dream this little dream, have this, create this little castle in the sky. We open our eyes and, wait a second, reality differs from this fantasy that I have. And that's the gap. This gap is created. And that gap causes us to become angry. We're angry. We're angry that it's not here right now. And that, so discouragement is all about our expectations to time. So once we decide we do want to make a change, or it's forced upon us to change, like catching our husbands in the act of, or spouse, I should say, you know, wife or husband, and we're thrust into divorce, or if we're laid off or fired from a job, you know, we're just forced to change. We don't have to necessarily change by choice, but there's this gap between what we want and our reality. We actually have to do the work. And we often set very unrealistic expectations about how long it should take, what it will actually take to achieve our goal. I know for me, every goal I set takes me longer.
Right. Well, it's this society. We want it now.
This is where I struggle most with discouragement, because I get frustrated and I get angry, and because I think it should happen now.
Yes, that's right. You know, I am really good with a lot of things in my life. I'm pretty disciplined. But when it comes to exercise, and I love to exercise, I just wind up, I miss a day and then I miss another day and then I miss another day. And I know how good I feel when I'm doing it. I know how good I feel when I'm done doing it. I love when my clothes fit better, but I still manage to put it off because, like you said, I want the results right now. And I know it's going to take a couple weeks or a couple months to get to exactly what I want. So, one more day, you know.
Right? And that's exactly what, you know, happened. But that's a very interesting point, Bonnie. And so now that you see that, you can assess that.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? It's a form of self-sabotage.
It is.
And so you can ask yourself, what is this really about? Is it resistance? Am I fearful? Am I procrastinating for a reason? Is this kind of a form of discouragement? What are my expectations? And so, again, I'm, you know, as a psychiatric nurse, in psych, we ask a lot of why questions. But in therapy, there's a lot of why questions.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach, I mean, why questions are great, but often require a lot of analysis, and you can get paralyzed by that. So as a coach, I'm very action-oriented. Okay, so great questions to ask, just to ask yourself, I wonder about that. But we want to move you into action. I want to move you into action.
Sure.
And so hence the 8 strategies for success.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about those 8 strategies when we return from this break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever gone into your local health food store looking for something that didn't exist? Blossom Spring Natural Health Solutions was born out of such a need. As a master herbalist and board-certified holistic health practitioner, I've created a line of herbal remedies and beauty products that have been overlooked by other companies. All-purpose Blossom Salve is the herbal answer for wound care. Use it on minor cuts, burns, abrasions, bug bites, and bee stings to kill germs, ease pain, and promote the reproduction of healthy new skin cells, all without introducing harsh chemicals or petroleum products into the wound. Youth in a Jar is an all-natural herbal facial complex designed to promote a healthy, youthful complexion by reducing fine lines and age spots while increasing elasticity and refining pores. Everything you want for your face in one product. Blossom Spring products are created with all natural and organic ingredients to promote health without destroying valuable flora. Just the way it was when time began, just as nature intended it to be. Blossom Spring is a registered trademark. Spirit Flight, Claim Your Joy and Your Health Will Follow, was born out of the idea that we're all made up of 3 things: our conscious thinking mind, our spirit, and our physical body. There are many books out there which address any one of these things separately, but many times they're too deep or difficult to read. Spirit Flight contains clear, helpful information for all the components of you, put together under one cover in an easy-to-read and understand format. Now, wouldn't we all like a manual for living a complete, balanced, and happy life? This book is full of exercises and resources that describe how to make simple adjustments in your life that help you take charge of your own well-being so that you can reclaim your joy and your health. In a special chapter called Practical Application, you can look up any health issue and you'll find herbs, vitamins, and dietary suggestions, along with emotional and energetic reasons for the illness, plus affirmations for changing the energy. That's pretty complete. So if you've been struggling with your health, your wellness, or you just want to find balance and joy in your life, read Spirit Flight. Claim your joy and your health will follow, by Bonnie McDade. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. Welcome back to Let's Find Out. That was That Made Me Stronger by Stevie Nicks from her album Trouble in Shangri-La. I just love me some Stevie Nicks. All right, now we're back with Julie Donnelly, and she's going to talk to us now about the 8 strategies.
Thank you. Yeah, this is where it gets fun and easy. So we talked about hard, and change is hard. It's difficult because, again, we're creatures of habit, and the habits help us to accomplish anything and everything that we want to achieve. So, but the 8 strategies are there to make it easy for us, and the first of which is commitment. And these aren't necessarily in any particular order, but I had to number them. So, but commitment, if I had to pick one that was the most important, I don't know that I really could. But when you study people who have made change and who have succeeded and sustained the change, who are, you know, divorced and happily remarried, or who are, have lost weight and have maintained that forever, you know, in a day, not regained back and forth yo-yo.
Right.
In fact, they say that 95% of people who lose weight will regain. There's only about 5% of the population that will lose significant amount of weight. I don't know what that number is, but a significant amount of weight and keep it off. And these are the strategies. If you study them, these are the strategies they use. And the first of which is commitment. They are committed to the change. They are clear about what value it holds for them. And so that commitment makes it very easy, or I should say easier, to let go of the attachments. Right. So in other words, if I'm committed to being thin, then I'm less likely to be committed to anything that would keep me heavy. And that's the thing, is that we are committed to something. So either you're committed to working out or you're not. You're either committed to being, you know, more athletic and more fit or you're not. And right. So when you're clear, when you ask yourself the question, what am I really committed to? and you become clear about that, then it's very easy to make a decision about whether to work out or not today.
Great. That was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do we have now?
Well, number two is envision a better future. We need to know where we're headed. What do you see for your future? What do you want for yourself? Oftentimes, this is difficult for people. They want to be away from pain, when we divorce, or even if we embark upon a weight loss, a lot of times people have health issues or they're suffering in some way, so they want to be out of pain, which is a great motivator, by the way. Pain is a great motivator. However, it's not a sustainable motivator, because once we're out of the pain, once the pain isn't so bad, there's no more motivation. So this is why envisioning a better future is important. Again, it doesn't have to come right away, but at some point you need to know what you want and what you're working towards and why it's important to you. And this vision, how you want to feel, what do you want to do, how do you want your life to be different, this vision draws us towards it. And because if it's compelling enough, we don't have to wrestle with our habits anymore, because we will want the pleasure of what we foresee for ourselves. And we'll start walking on that path towards creating that vision. And as we do so, we create new habits. Easy.
Wonderful. Easy. Wonderful. Now I need to put a picture of Miss Universe on my refrigerator. And that'll motivate me to pick up the weights.
She spent years training. So that's probably an unrealistic expectation, unless, of course, you would really want to be a Miss Universe and compete in that, kind of competition.
That was totally unrealistic. Absolutely.
Put something that's more you. What is it that you really want? And maybe it's a bathing suit. Maybe it's not necessarily a vision of you, but the bathing suit that you want to wear, or a dress that you might want to fit into, or something where you're envisioning that. And this is where people create the vision boards and, so that they can continue to reflect upon and think about and cultivate the vision as they move forward. So that's what a visioning is. The third, key to success, if you will, is developing the characteristics you need to succeed.
Mm.
Now, this is about who do you want to be. This is about defining the qualities and the characteristics of the kind of person that you will be when you achieve that vision. So when you think about yourself in that bathing suit or that, negligee or that dress, whatever it is you want, what are the qualities that person would espouse? What are the characteristics that would be important to her? How would she eat differently? How would she dress differently, behave differently, carry herself, sit differently? Mm-hmm. And so the characteristics, this is all about character. This is about being. This is updating your self-image and becoming more confident, recognizing how you sabotage yourself to keep you as you are today rather than the person that you want to become, checking your inner dialogue and how you speak to yourself. So we need to change who we are and update who we are becoming. And that is what my first book is all about. I almost titled it The Who Book, my first book. It didn't fly over very well. So I had to come up with something else.
The journey called you works.
The fourth key to success is creating the environment to support the change. So if the third one is who you are becoming, that's all about the internal environment that you have to support you to move forward. We also need an external environment. And that doesn't just mean community. It also means physical environment, too. So, for instance, making sure you have the equipment you need or the gym membership and the bags, the ready-to-go bag to the gym. Mm. People who start a diet, they have to clean their pantries. And so it's preparing the physical environment as well as creating a support system that will support you in achieving this change and creating this change, because in your vision of the future, things are going to look different. People, places, and things will be different in the future as you become this different person.
That's right. And that's what we're striving for, ultimately. All right, Julie, we're going to take our last break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. Next week, March 20th, my esteemed guest will be Mark Dodich, the astrologer who has been on our show every quarter for the past year. Mark Dodich has provided astrology and intuitive consultation since 1980. He holds a CAP certificate in astrology from the ISR Astrology Research. He is past president of the Oregon Astrological Association, publishes his own newsletter, and is regularly featured in the media. Mark is a regular speaker on astrological topics at conferences, fairs, and metaphysical venues. He provides his work internationally from his base in Portland, Oregon. Mark has had a monthly column in New Connections Journal since the mid-1990s. He is also seen in print regularly, having published hundreds of articles. Mark is heard on radio programs numerous times during the year, and you can also find the link to hear shows on his website, www.astromark.us. Mark is very knowledgeable in the field of astrology, and we are entering the spring equinox. This is going to be a powerful pre-year to 2012. So don't miss this fabulous show, Sunday, March 20th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Elizabeth Joyce speaks with famed astrologer Mark Dodich, and let's all find out.
The Bucks County Metaphysical Association, BCMA, is a nonprofit organization focused on teaching love, self-care, and self-responsibility by sharing our talents with others to enhance and serve the community. The BCMA does this by providing holistic health care and metaphysical programs, by keeping people informed about issues that affect the health and welfare of the community, and by generating lectures and events to support the local Bucks County charities. We're beginning our fourth year of community service and are known as the Metaphysical Education Center of Bucks County. Please join us for our upcoming lectures and events. Not only will it be informative, fun, networking, and community sharing, but you will also be supporting some wonderful charities. We look forward to seeing many of you on the third Wednesday night of every month at 7 p.m. at the Circle of Miracles Church, 10 Beulah Road, New Britain Township in PA. For a list of our charities, please visit our website, www.thebcma.net. You're listening to bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade.
When all the dark clouds roll away, young sun begins to shine, I see my freedom from across the way, and it comes right in one time, when it shines so bright. Yet it gives so much light. Yet it comes from the sky above. Make me feel so free. Make me feel like me. Yet it lights my life with love. Yet it seems like. Yet it feels. It feels like a brand.
And that was Van Morrison from the album Moondance with A Brand New Day. And it was really very fitting because that's what we're talking about, turning things around and opening up our lives to brand new selves. Now, where did we leave off, Julie, with our 8 strategies?
We covered the first 4, which included commitment, envisioning a better future, developing an internal environment, the characteristics you need to succeed, and an external environment to support your change. The last 5 is taking action. I mean, if you never take a step towards your dream, nothing's going to change. Nothing changes without action. So action is essential. And of course, you need to keep taking that step. The one thing I'll say about action is small steps produce huge results. So it's one thing that you can do today or this week or this month. One little thing. Anybody can come up with one little thing. We often get overwhelmed and get discouraged because we look at the mountain we have to climb ahead of us. So I just focus on one little thing. We can all do that. We take that first step, then we take another step. And as we take those steps, if we celebrate our success along the way, that's 6, then we become more motivated. And it keeps us wanting to go. We pat ourselves on the back. Our community pats us on the back. Our community supports our success, you know, us to succeed. They're cheering us. It's about gratitude and appreciating ourselves for the work that we do. Most of us are not very good at this. But right. If we do this, then we become more motivated because we want to see what else we can accomplish. And everything builds upon that. The last 2 are essential. 7 is laughing and enjoying the journey. And we take ourselves so seriously. We beat ourselves up entirely too easily, and we don't celebrate the goodness in ourselves. We have to enjoy the process. If you were telling yourself, oh, I hate working out. Oh, it's such a chore. I can't stand going to the gym. Don't. You know, find something that you love to do.
Right.
Because if you love to do it and you have fun doing it, you will want to do it. If it's a chore, you're not going to do it. You're going to hate it. You're going to put it off. And why do it? You might as well just not even, you're not ready. Don't commit to something else, you know, and that's fine. Let yourself off the hook. It's hard when we beat ourselves up. It's hard when we put ourselves down or when we make it a chore. So don't, you know, it's absolutely perfectly okay to say, you know what, I don't want to join a gym. I don't. I work out at home. So it all depends. Everybody, you know, needs to do what's fun for them. The last strategy is adopting empowering beliefs. We must take a look at the thoughts that are running through our heads. When I got sick, of course, years later, I've had at least 5 doctors tell me, oh, you can't lose weight, so you might as well not worry about it. You look just fine. You're healthy. Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's terrible. How did you get through that?
I understand, because I do have some medical, I have a metabolism that doesn't work, you know, so I understand that they were trying to be helpful and make me feel good, but it was not helpful. And it is a shame that they do that. But I had to overcome, still planted that negative limiting belief that said, I can't. And the fact is I can. I have lost 40 pounds. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm in progress. So I have lost weight and, you know, so we need to check on those thoughts because our beliefs are like the undercurrent in a stream that sends the water down the stream. And so they run our lives. And if we don't check them, which we usually don't, then they will continue us along the path of mediocrity and unhappiness. So we absolutely need to check in on our beliefs, let go of the attachment to them. We can change our thoughts. We can change our beliefs and create new beliefs that empower.
Thank you so
much,
Julie.
We have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for.
Right. You're right. And in the book that we've been talking about, it's called Does Change Have to Be So Hard? H-A-R-D, capital letters. Julie Donnelly has been talking to us about strategies for breaking through to the kind of life that you can see, but you haven't been able to get to. Does that about sum it up?
Oh, yes. I mean, we do. We give ourselves such a hard time. We really don't need to. It can be so much easier than we make it out to be.
Right. And you can learn a lot more about Julie and about her both her books, A Journey Called You, A Roadmap to Self-Discovery and Acceptance, and Does Change Have to Be So H-A-R-D, by visiting www.nurturingyoursuccess.com. Thank you, Julie, so much for being with us tonight, and we're going to go right into the affirmation meditation. Thank you, Julie. Have a great night.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Please join me in this calm scene meditation. Place your feet flat on the floor. Put your hands in your laps and make circuits with your thumbs and forefingers. We're going to take a nice deep breath in and release it. Another nice deep breath in and blow it out. One last time in and release it. You're walking through a beautiful green meadow. See the butterflies flitting around, making their little circles in the air. There is a serene lake in the distance. And near the edges of the lake, you see a full, mature weeping willow tree. As you make your way over to the tree, take notice of the spring breeze. Smell the air. See the birds flying in the sky. Take notice of the swans gliding across the glassy surface of the lake. And as you make your way to the tree, find yourself a nice nook in the roots that's just right for you to have a seat. Get comfortable and focus on the scene around you and breathe deeply. Allow this peacefulness to fill your soul. To your left, there's a forest. You notice a robed figure coming out of the forest, and he's walking toward you. This is your guide. Your guide is smiling, laughing even, letting you know that everything is just fine. All the worries of the day can melt away now because this is your time. Allow yourself to fully absorb the joy that you perceive coming from this being. Any concerns that you have, just give them to your guide. Notice the complete sensation of calm and peace that you feel in this incredible scene. Your guide is telling you that you have everything you need. You are complete. You are perfect. And all of your desires will be met. You are loved. You are protected. And anything that goes against these truths will be removed from your spirit. When removed from your spirit, it will be removed from your life. You have the power. You have the wisdom. You can create your own life. Accept the reality of that right now. Let that soak into your consciousness. When all fear is removed, all that's left is joy. Feel the immense outpouring of love from your guide
as the beautiful robed figure returns to the forest. As you return to the room, bring this calm, this peace, back with you, and know that you can return to this, your calm scene, anytime you like. Now take a nice deep breath. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Slowly and gently return yourself to the room. But don't let that smile leave your face. That is yours.